Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Tuesday, August 28th. I'm Ray Graff. You know, the best thing about public radio is the very diverse selection of programs you get. For 1 hour, you'll have a district attorney candidates debate, and then the next hour, a show about plumbing. And that's where we are right now. We are focusing on plumbing with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. He's here to answer your questions and concerns about your latest plumbing project or problem. To join the discussion, give us a call, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. And by all means, hold your applause to the end of the program. It's Ian Cowan today, and you can email us at voxpop@wamc.org if you wish. But again, the number, 800-348-2551. Plumbing, coming up on Vox Pop after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today we delve into the world of pipes, valves, and tanks with Ian Cowan of On the Level Plumbing. Ian specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps and is in the studio to answer your questions. Our number is 800-348-2551. If you have a plumbing question for Ian, 800-348-2551. You can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Again, the number, 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan, welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
The summer is winding down, eh?
It is.
Now, you said right before we went on, and this surprised me, that this is sort of a downtime for plumbing.
Well, I didn't necessarily say that.
Not down, but less.
There's not a season for something right now.
Less,
so if it was colder,
catastrophic
we'd talk
issues.
About you know, heating. If it was the beginning of the summer, we could talk about some air conditioning. We could talk about frozen pipes in the winter.
Oh, yeah, we can.
You know how that works.
You know, the we got back from vacation early August.
There he is bragging again.
Well, it was a lovely vacation, but it was very nice when we arrived back in the region. It was a sunny Saturday in early August. And I got back, and all my neighbors said, oh, gosh, yeah, we have 8 inches of water in our basement.
Yep.
Apparently, there was torrential rain around here for several days in a row. And have you been dealing with a lot of that?
Well, fortunately, I was on vacation just about the same time you were, remember?
Oh, that's right.
Yes, my guys got to deal with water in the basement and sump pumps. When we know that there's a rainfall coming, we actually stock up, and most plumbers do. And you'll see piles and piles of pumps at all the supply houses. And everybody goes in, and you get a bunch for the weekend. And, you know, you load your truck up with check valves and pipe and fittings and you know it's coming.
And they said, now, of course, you can't always go by some of these long-range predictions, that the winter could be cold and snowy. So that'll be...
Well, whenever they tell us that, Ray, it usually ends up being very mild, and we end up not getting that. So
knocking on wood or whatever this table is.
Well, I'm the opposite, because frozen pipes are kind of our bread
and
butter.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's
so
true.
We're like the mortician, you know? People don't want to die, but somebody makes money out of it.
All right,
so,
fair
unfortunately.
Enough. Ian Cowan, very realistic here and sensible. 800-348-2551, the number. Let's go over to Merle in Argyle. Merle, you're on.
All right. Hi. This is going to be a philosophical question for you.
Oh, I love it.
How come the hot water is on the left?
Yes.
If
why?
I'm right-handed and I go to the sink with a glass of water, it's in my right hand, and then I reach forward, I'm turning on the hot water.
You know.
And I kept saying, why is the hot on the left? It should be on the right, since most people are right-handed.
Merle, first of all... if you're using your right hand, you might want to hold the glass in your left and use your right.
Oh, you might.
Because then
you're
usually right-handed. You grab with your right hand.
Yeah, but you also have to grab the lever of the handle. So,
with
I will tell
your
you,
left hand.
It's kind of a funny question, and it has come up before. I don't know the actual reason why it started to be on the left, but if it's uniform, then when faucets are made, fixtures are made, everything's always on the same side. It just makes for a uniform installation. It also stops with scalding. So if the hot's always on the same side, Merle, and you go to grab it and you burn yourself, the company's not going to get sued. But if they put the hot on the right side as opposed to the left, then you may have a potential lawsuit. So my guess is, after having this conversation a couple of times with several people, my guess guess is that it's just a uniform thing, and it probably avoids lawsuits.
You can't do a custom installation and have the customer sign a waiver?
You can absolutely do that, 100%. Yeah. But they better sign off on it because I'm not getting sued either.
I got to tell you, Merle, now this is a great question to start the show. Thank you, sir.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Have a good one. Now, I wonder, are the hot and cold levers different on the other side of the equator?
No.
And the toilets actually...
But they do, the water does go the other
way. It does actually go the other way. Have you been there?
No, but I've had friends send me from Australia and other places in the world where it actually it spins counterclockwise as opposed to clockwise.
Well, we're off to a surreal start on the program. Let's go to the next line and see what fresh hell this brings. Ed in Ackard. Ed, you're on.
Hey, yeah. I have a situation where the pressure tank became waterlogged. I believe it did because the water was just cycling, like, you know, really rapidly. Well,
that's usually
switching
a good sign.
On and off very frequently. And so I pressurized it with an air pump to the recommended pressure, and it's not doing that anymore. So how can I tell if just over 20 years or so that this thing has been installed that it may have very gradually lost, or whether the bladder is actually shot?
So first of all, let's determine if you have a bladder. So are you sure that it's a bladder-type tank?
Yeah, I looked it up. It was ProSource something or other.
Okay.
And yeah, they said it had a bladder.
So generally the easiest way to check it is there is a what we call a snifter valve. It's like a where you would add air to a tire. You'd see that on the top.
Yeah, there's a Schrader valve on top
correct.
Of the thing.
So you can actually just depress that, and if water comes out, then water has passed through the bladder. There should only be air on that side. But some of those tanks, over time, the bladders weaken, so you'd have to add pressure, and they can weaken without actually bursting. So it's not always that. It sounds like yours just weakened because you added air, and it works again. So you probably, you know, you bought yourself a little bit of time. But
how much time?
I'm not going to be liable to tell him how much.
All
it could be tomorrow. It could be 2 years from now.
All right.
Right. So you couldn't say days, weeks, months, or years.
It no.
It could be anywhere within that range.
You never
but know. Water did not come out of the Schrader valve.
So then, so the bladder just got weakened over time, especially if it's been 20 years. So, yeah, you did the right thing. You bought yourself some time, and now you can plan for that replacement.
Okay.
Nice job.
Well, thank you.
Ed, thanks a lot for the call. Our guest today is Ian Cowan. We talk plumbing on Vox Pop today. 800-348-2551 is the number. 800-348-2551. We go to Ricardo and Rhinebeck. You're on.
Hi, Ricardo.
Hello.
Hello?
Okay, we got you now. Go ahead.
Okay, excuse me. I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
Listen, the thermos bottle. You put in the cold, it's a cold. How do we know?
Oh, boy. Ricardo, thank you for that. He's haven't heard from him in quite some time. He usually
He's
goes
a regular?
Well, he always brings a little bit of spice to the program. It goes by different names. Thank you, Ricardo, for that one. Joe in Clifton Park. Joe, you're on.
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Joe.
Lately, when the laundry is going and the washing machine pulls water, I get this shaking in the pipes. It's like a sound, and it'll go away. Now, this happened a while back, maybe like 2 years ago. And then all of a sudden it came back, and it comes and goes. Sometimes it also happens when other parts of the house I draw water. So what do you think is causing that?
Usually what that is, Joe, is there's something, maybe some debris getting into your line and partially clogging one of these spots. So like where you turn the handle on a faucet, where the valve kicks on in the washing machine to allow the water in, it's not getting the full flow that it normally would. And usually we'll see that a lot in a washing machine. There are screens that when you take off the hoses on the back of the washing machine, you turn the water off first, though. Don't try to disconnect them without shutting off the water. But turn the water off that supplies the washing machine. Remove the hoses, and inside there, usually the screens are removable. You pull them out, you rinse them off, you tap them on the sink or whatever, and you clean them out, and you put them back in, and that usually solves that problem. If you're getting it in other places, it could be the same problem somewhere else.
So
it could just pass right through eventually. and that's why it's intermittent.
Even if it's happening when I use the outside hose or other parts of the building, and it all seems to be happening in one section, it's below the washer and the basement pipes.
Yeah, and if this doesn't happen all the time, then it's not a water hammer problem. It's not a banging. It's kind of a buzzing or a shaking.
Yeah, it's a buzzing. It's not a banging.
Right. So that usually means that something is not opening or closing all the way. That's usually what that means. And that's usually just debris in one of the valves. And a lot of times what you'll find, if you're getting a lot of debris in your pipes like that, you might want to put in a whole house filter, and that'll stop that from getting in. And a lot of times what happens is you open the valve for your outside faucet or your washing machine or whatever the case is, usually not the washing machine because they have the screens, but if you open that valve and something gets caught in there, you exercise the valve or open and close it again, and that little piece kind of makes its way through. That's why it's intermittent. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks,
Joe.
Have a great day.
Thanks, Joe. Our guest today is Ian Cowan. Our number is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. More plumbing coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff here, and our guest today is Ian Cowan. We talk plumbing. Ian of On the Level Plumbing. Our number is 800-348-2551. And Kellen in Glens Falls. Kellen, you're next.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah, terrible signal, though. You're on speakerphone in a car, I guess, huh?
A little bit, yeah. I'm sorry.
All right, would you mind asking the question and then maybe listening on the radio?
Sure.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. About toilets. The first one, our toilet we rent, me and my wife, and our toilet at home, it seems to have trouble flushing. No matter what you flush, whether it's one piece of toilet paper or more, it has trouble flushing. I'm not sure if there could be a solution to that we could, as renters, install something on there to increase the power. And my second question is, on an airplane, when you flush the toilet, is it true that the what goes in the toilet gets dropped into the sky?
I'm sorry, what was
drops
that?
Into the what?
Into the sky.
Into the sky?
Yeah, from the airplane. That's my second question.
I have no idea, man. And the signal's terrible, but we did get the first one. It's about the pressure of the toilet.
So
we'll have you listen on the radio, Kellen, because it sounds awful. It's all right? So go ahead.
So I didn't really hear the second question.
Something about the stuff you flush down the toilet coming from the sky. And I will have to pick that one up another time, Kellen. We apologize. But the first one was, he doesn't have a lot of pressure.
So a lot of times there's something happens in the tank of the toilet. So either you're not getting enough water in there, somebody changed the flapper, put the wrong one in. You need so much what we call head pressure, volume of water. Easy way to check that is you fill a bucket, like a 5-gallon paint bucket, you know, that you get from one of the big box stores. Just fill that up with water in your tub and dump that straight into the bowl. And if it flushes great like that, then it's probably not your drain. So then you can look in the back of the toilet, pull the tank lid off, and there should be a line on the back, and it will say fill line or water level or something.
Yeah.
And if the water's not getting that high, that's usually a problem. Sometimes toilets just get old, and the where the water goes to go from the tank into the bowl, sometimes they get clogged. You can use an old coat hanger, try to clean those out. You can pour CLR in the tank and flush it, and that eats up some of that calcium lime rust remover stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You can pour that in there and flush it. Just don't get it on your hands. Don't spill it.
Right.
And don't leave it in the tank for too long because it will eat the rubber seals away from the tank to bowl seals. So you just have to put it in and flush it immediately and then flush water
through it. In the back tank.
Yep.
Not in the bowl itself.
Correct. Put it in the tank and then you flush it. And that'll clear out the passages or help to clear out the passageway where the water goes to actually enter the bowl so that you can get that, you know, that
but
flow.
But this could just be an adjustment on the float. The water's not coming up high enough.
Absolutely. That's why you want to check that water line. But you also want to try, because it could be a slow drain, could be a partially clogged drain. So if you take that bucket of water and you port right into the toilet bowl and it flushes fine, then you know it's not the drain. So you've eliminated that problem.
All right, and thanks for that call, Kellen. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest, and Alan in Slingerlands is next. Alan, you're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hi. Another Bluetooth person, so I'll ask it and hang up.
All right, man.
I've got a hot water heater that was leaking through the expansion valve, or the overflow valve, as it were, in the wintertime. I replaced it. The brand-new valve leaked, and so I just stuck a bucket under it, just kind of watched it, and lo and behold, it stopped leaking. Even before I replaced it, I tried the purge and, you know, and checked it out. When I took the old one out, it wasn't crusty or anything on the seals, and the new one leaked. So I was wondering if the input water temperature or something in the wintertime is colder, hence some constant volume of water going in there is expanding a little bit more because the temperature change is bigger in the winter when I heat it up to some constant temperature. Is it just a seasonal thing?
So that's actually a temperature and pressure relief valve, known as a TPR valve. So it's not just the temperature, but it's also the pressure. So the first thing you want to do is you want to put a gauge on your cold water. And that's real easy to do. You can put it at the bottom of the tank. There's usually a hose connection you can buy for $10 or something in one of the big box stores.
Yeah.
You can buy a little gauge that goes right onto a – it's got a hose connection on it. Put it right on there, open the valve, check the pressure. Are you on city water or well water?
City water.
So a lot of times what happens is if they're flushing the hydrants or they're working on something, or if you have a broken line somewhere, your pressure is going to change. They can add a pump station, delete a pump station. There's a lot of things that they can do to your water that will give you a temporary or a seasonal change if it's something they do at a certain month every year. So you just want to put that gauge on there. You probably didn't have to change the relief valve because if the new one was leaking, you were probably leaking for a reason and it was doing its job.
Ah.
So one of the things I just want to mention to your listeners, Ray, and we've talked about it before, but I've been into houses where they've actually plugged those up or they've capped them off.
The relief valve?
Yes.
Not a
good
plan.
Not a good idea. If it's leaking, there's a reason it's leaking. Could be old, but usually it's because there's a pressure fluctuation or a temperature fluctuation.
Yeah, and that's what it's there for.
Right. And the other thing is...
What can the pressure be?
Well, usually you get one that blows off at like 110 pounds, but it could just get to that for a minute and then drop off. That's why you're not getting a flood. It's not staying consistent. So that's, again, could just be something that's ramping up and down. But also, it would depend on how your hot water heating is. If you have a mixing valve that, you know, mixes some cold with the hot, then you should, there's usually a check valve there, so you should have an expansion tank on the cold water side of your water heater to help with that expansion and contraction of the hot water. So, you know, without seeing that, I don't know if you have any check valves on your system, but if you do, then, you know, our code says, at least in New York, we have to put an expansion tank on to alleviate that problem. So it's probably one of those two things, and my guess is there was probably nothing wrong with your relief valve to begin with.
All right. Well, Alan, thank you very much for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Ian Cowan is our guest. Frank in Hinsdale. Frank, you're on.
Hi, Frank.
Hello. My question is, we have a well and a pressure tank, and I want to put a whole house filter in. Should I put it in before the tank or after the tank?
It's a very good question because this is another safety issue. So absolutely has to go after the tank. There is what we just talked about. There's a check valve on the inlet side of your tank, and then there's a pressure switch. That pressure switch is what tells the pump to kick on. So if you put that filter before the check valve, then that pressure switch is going to call for water even when that filter's clogged, and you're either going to build up too much pressure and break a seal somewhere and you're going to have a flood, or you're going to burn out your pump because it's trying to run and it can't go anywhere. So definitely after the tank. Now, do you have water treatment on your system, Frank?
No.
Okay.
We are thinking of putting – actually, I should say there is an existing one that no longer operates that's ultraviolet, and that is before the tank right now.
Okay. Well, that's the ultraviolet lights, UV lights don't usually get clogged. So that's not a problem. It's cleaning the it's killing the bacteria is what it's doing. So that's not a problem. But the reason I asked is usually if you have a water softener or any backwashing water treatment, could be, you know, an RO system, could be an acid neutralizer, could be a whole house filter, any of those things that backwash, they usually take a lot of the debris out. So you, if you have that, you want to put your whole house filter after that. It doesn't, you could put it first, but you're just going to change more filters than you have to, and you're going to spend more money. So it should go after your water treatment as well. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks, Frank.
Thanks, Frank. Now, thinking of this logically, see if I'm wrong. Would you not want to have that UV bacteria killer after the tank? In other words, wouldn't bacteria be wouldn't that tank be a wonderful spot for bacteria to come?
We always put it after the. We don't put anything before the check valve ever. But I don't think that it's going to cause him any problems.
Okay.
And if it's been in there and it's been working and the UV light's been working, then there shouldn't be any bacteria in that tank anyway, unless he has there's some iron bacteria that they can hide.
Right.
They tend to hide behind.
Oh, yeah,
it.
You mentioned that.
Yeah, and they hide behind the little iron pieces that come in, and UV lights, it's really hard to get rid of that, and UV lights don't kill them. But UV lights take out pretty much everything else. So.
Ian Callen, our guest today. Plumbing is the topic on Vox Pop, and our number is 800-348-2551. Michael in Lenox. Michael, you're on.
Hello, Michael.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
I have a toilet. The house is 10 years old. It's on town water, and it has a septic holding tank. The toilet, when flushed, bubbles. There's always a bubble that comes up. In addition, the water is quite rank just with the everyday use. In addition, at the base of the toilet, it appears that there's some moisture or dampness. I'm not sure that any of the three are related, but the rank odor is really annoying, and I had the system cleaned last year.
So the let me just get this straight, Michael. The odor is coming from the toilet, not from your water at all points of use, right?
No, it's coming from the water in the toilet.
Okay, so just where the toilet is.
I'm sorry?
In other words, not the kitchen sink, just the toilet.
No, okay. just the toilet, okay. Yeah.
So,
and just this one toilet, because we have more than one.
Okay. So the bubbling or the gurgling could be one of two things, and Ray can probably answer this by now.
Oh, it's the vent. it's the vent.
Could be a vent, or it could be a partially clogged line. And then the wetness or the dampness around the base of the toilet could be a couple of things. Could be condensation if it's hot in that room and you're getting cold water coming in. But it sounds like it's a little worse than that. And if you're also getting a smell, it sounds like you may have some water seeping from where the toilet seats to the flange on the floor. And that would also tell us why you're getting the smell, because sewer gases are getting out because the toilet has a trap built into it. So where it attaches to the floor is not actually trapped water. There's no trap underneath that. That's a direct line right to your septic system. So if the toilet's not seated right, or if the wax seal has rotted away, or if the toilet has moved or something has happened, you're going to get that smell. You're going to get the dampness. And it's possible that if the drain is partially clogged, and you go to flush that toilet, that it could have backed up a little bit and actually pushed that wax seal out with the pressure of the water. So it sounds like my first guess would be that it's a partially clogged line somewhere where that before that toilet hits something else. The second one could be a vent, like Ray said.
And the bubble that when I flush the toilet?
That's what I'm talking about. The bubble's either coming from a partially clogged line or it's coming from a vent. So, and the way I always explain it, and I'm sure that the regular listeners have heard me say this a bunch, but if you take a straw and you put it in a glass of water, you put your finger on top of the straw and you lift it up, the water doesn't go anywhere. You move your finger, water falls out of the straw. Same thing with your drain line. So you have a pipe that goes through the roof of the house somewhere, at least one, and then that is a direct line right to your septic tank. If you ran a hose in there and you looked at the septic, you'd watch that water flow right in. And that's to keep the water in all of the traps so it doesn't get sucked out of the trap when you run water. And that trap is to trap sewer gases, not to catch earrings.
Okay.
So the plan would be to remove the toilet and put a new gasket in, and at the same time, snake the toilet out?
I would say, or, you know, if you're having a professional come out, maybe they can put a camera in the line. If you're doing it yourself, you kind of look in there, but you can't see very far. Maybe a hand snake or something to see if there's anything in there. But, definitely pull it up. And the other thing you want to check when you pull your toilet, and this is good for all your listeners, the flange, the part that the toilet actually braces to and locks to, where you put the bolts in and it holds the toilet in place, That should sit right on top of your finished floor. So if you've ever had a new tile floor put in your bathroom, tile guys are not plumbers, and most of the time they just slap a 3/4-inch tile on top and they use a really thick wax ring. So that usually we find lasts about 5 to 6 years. We get called out. They say, hey, I have a smell in here. I have a problem. And then we look and we can see the tile and we say, let me guess, you had your floor replaced about 5-6 years ago. And they say, oh my gosh, yes, 5 years ago. And so that kind of goes away. So the flange should be on top of the floor. You can either have that replaced, you can have an insert flange put in there, or you can get the really thick wax rings with the horn in them, it's called. It's a little plastic piece, and that'll help to solve that for you. Okay.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot for the call. 800-348-2551 is our number. Ian Cowan is our guest. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. Ann in Garrison. Ann, you're on.
That's two Garrisons today.
How about that?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi,
Ann.
Hello.
You're on.
Hi.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can hear me?
Sure thing.
Oh, great. I have a kitchen sink with a lovely faucet, and it's the kind of faucet, when you pull it out, you're supposed to be able to use it as a sprayer. And about 6 months ago, when I pulled it out, the hose itself started spraying every which way, but not the part that's supposed to spray. As soon as I stuff it back in where it's supposed to go, then you can use it as a regular faucet, but I don't get to use the sprayer.
So when it's in there and you use it as a faucet, nothing's leaking underneath?
Nope. No drips down the hose, no.
So did you try to turn, there's a little, there's a nut on the end of the hose that tightens to the arm. Did you make
what
sure
arm?
that was tight? The shower arm.
She's
I
see.
The sprayer.
Yep.
The sprayer handle.
Yep.
And then.
I see one, but I will look more closely.
Yeah, because we get called out a lot where somebody says, I have a leak under, and usually it leaks under the sink. So the way that yours sits, some of the brands, the way they sit in there, will kind of push that up a little bit and it'll keep it from leaking. But as soon as you pull it out, it sprays. But most of them don't have that, and they'll get a drip under the sink and they'll call us and we come out and all we have to do is just hand tighten this little nut on the end, and they feel silly and they get mad because we still have to charge them.
Oh,
so
my
I
gosh.
Always try to tell people to always check that first before you call us out.
Well, that's a good thing to try.
I'd rather send my money to WAMC Public Radio.
You see, Ann,
there you
that's
go.
A great
see, we
idea.
Like that, Ann. Good job.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for the call.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. 800-348-2551, the number. Our guest today, Ian Cowan and Gideon in the Catskills. Gideon.
Hey, yes.
Gideon, can you turn your radio down, sir? It's really loud. It's coming through.
Yes, okay, 1 minute. I move
stand
away
by.
From it.
All right, I'll wait.
Because I'm outside. Yes, I have a Delta thermostatic valve in the showers, and one of them started dripping. And I took it apart, and I replaced the gaskets in it. And when I put it together, it works backward.
Huh. Okay.
And I tried many times, but it seems to me like the cartridge.
I'll tell you exactly what it is.
Gideon, this
one's easy. This one's real easy. So what they don't tell you when you're the homeowner and you buy the Delta cartridge is that if you look, when you pull out that cartridge that you put back in, it's very, very small print. And depending on which Delta cartridge it is, it'll either say hot side or there will be an
H. 1 minute. I did not replace the cartridge. I replaced only the rings.
Only the rings.
But you pulled the cartridge out and put it back. Otherwise,
right.
There's no way. Right. And you put it back in backwards, I'm telling you. Because there's a hot side. So the way this works, and this goes back to our first caller today, right?
Yeah.
Who said, why is the hot always on the left?
Yeah.
So when you open that valve, it partially, and Deltas are pressure balanced. So it's going to open the cold only, and then when it goes to mix, it opens part of the hot and part of the cold, and when it goes all the way to the hot, you get a little less cold and more hot.
Yeah.
But there's always a little cold with the hot because it's pressure balanced.
Okay.
So if that cartridge is in backwards, as soon as you turn it, you're opening the hot side as opposed to the cold because you're opening the left side first as opposed to the right. So when you pull that cartridge out on Deltas, all of them, it'll either have an H or it'll say hot side, and that has to be on the left-hand side. Otherwise, your cartridge won't work. Okay, that's a very simple one, Gideon. You just flip it around and put it the other way, my friend.
I try again.
Good luck to you.
Thank you, sir. We appreciate the call. It's 800-348-2551. We'll take a quick break here and then back for the home stretch. Ian Cowan is our guest. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 2:40 on a Tuesday afternoon. Ian Cowan is here to answer your plumbing questions. And, oh, we got a little stack here of emails. You don't mind taking a couple of emails before we get back to the phones?
You're reading them to me. I just have to answer.
All right, fine. All right, fine. This one is from Rick. Any ideas on what to do about moisture on the back of a toilet tank that is causing mold on the wall behind the tank? It's hard to reach in and clean because the tank is close to the wall.
Sell the house. No,
cut
I'm just
it
kidding.
Out.
So, well,
yeah, you gotta...
that one's a fairly simple fix. They make toilets that have a styrofoam insert inside the tank, and they're made to keep condensation out.
Oh, okay.
So it's to stop the con. And the
you
reason
have to buy
you're getting the
toilet.
Sometimes it depends on what toilet
he has.
Can
you get an insert?
If it's a newer toilet, he can actually get a tank that would match it that has it. If they make that particular one, but he may have to buy a toilet.
Okay. All right, this one is from Kathleen. I have an old solar hot water system, 1983, no longer working, but have a huge, fairly new electric water heater. It is costing a fortune. Some have suggested putting a form of preheater. Can you explain, and what do you think? That's from Kathleen. What's a preheater?
So either way, it depends on, I mean, you could preheat with anything. You could preheat with a boiler. You could preheat with another tank. You could preheat with a gas tank. But unfortunately, electric water heaters, unless she has a hybrid, are going to actually, you know, cost a lot more money. So they make hybrid heaters that have a pump on them.
Yeah.
Right on the top, they're about, you just have to have room for it in your house. They're usually 18 to 24 inches taller than the other heater, and that would be my suggestion, because anything you're going to preheat, you're going to have to use energy to preheat, and you're going to spend money.
All right, this one is from Laura. I just bought a new washer dryer. The delivery guys could not hook up the dryer because at some point an electrician had hardwired the old dryer right into the breaker box. They said I had to hire an electrician to install an outlet. Any idea why the previous guy did that? Well, that's a dryer. That's not really your...
And it's electrical, but we do run into that. And, yeah, you just need to have an outlet put in.
Sorry. All right, fair enough. This one's from Mark. I've recently installed a shower head that has a pause feature. According to the instructions, the pause feature, when activated, will not completely stop all water at the shower head. It will always allow a slight trickle of water to flow. The directions say that plumbing regulations require this. Why is that?
I'm going to have to say that I'm stumped because I've never put in a paused shower head.
Okay.
So I will research that, and next time I'm in, I will find out.
Next time you're on the program. All right, let's go back to the phones then. 800-348-2551. Elizabeth in Amherst. Elizabeth.
Hi. Hi. Good afternoon. I have a pretty straightforward question. I live in Amherst. We've had, for decades, actually, a problem of water in the basement. Lately, we've really been working on this problem because of all the heavy rains. We have some pumps that sit on the surface of the basement floor, and we remove water with a system of garden hoses out into the yard. We have a sump well in the yard, but no connection, really, that is effectual. The last thing that has been suggested to us is that we get French drains installed in our basement and a sump pump there below the surface of the basement floor. But it costs a fortune. It's like $15,000.
Yikes.
Do you have any comment on is this even a good idea? It was a new idea to me.
Yeah. It's a very old idea, though, the French drain, right?
Yeah, it's a very old idea. Unfortunately, anything you do is going to be costly. You can, if the water's only coming in at one point, you can, you know, open the floor and you can put in a sump bucket.
No, we've got cracks all over the basement floor. The water comes in a lot of places.
So either a French drain inside the house, or you can put a curtain drain outside of the house. But now you have to dig down on the outside of the house all the way around. Then you have to run those pipes to what we call daylight or to air, where they're going to drain out somewhere, you know, if it's a hill or otherwise you have to put them into a pit and pump that out somewhere.
Right.
So anything you do is going to be costly, unfortunately. It's the cost of home ownership sometimes, and it's sad and it is not fun, but there's no cheap way around that problem, unfortunately. I'm sorry.
Okay, so you're saying that that's not an outlandish price necessarily.
We're not allowed to discuss pricing on here, so I can't.
Right.
It's always a good idea to get a few estimates.
That's a really good idea.
But you're saying that it's a viable idea as an idea.
It is definitely a good idea. There's probably three options you have. One is putting in a sump pump in one spot, which you said is probably not a good idea, or even two or three of them. The other one is a French drain inside the house. The other one is a curtain drain outside of the house. And I would just call and get some estimates. It's really going to depend on your landscaping and your property and all that stuff.
Okay. Thank you. I'm working on the estimates, but I didn't know you were going to be on the radio today. I thought I'd call in. Thank you so much.
Well, we're glad you called. Thank you, Elizabeth.
For the call. The French drain, briefly describe to us what that is.
Basically, you trench out the outside wall of your entire basement, and then you put in one or two corners, depending on how big it is, you put a pump, and it just brings in all the groundwater and directs it into one or two pumps, and then it pumps up an outside. Curtain drain is the same thing on the outside. And there's gravel around the pipe, and then there's, you know, the pipe is perforated and usually sleeved. So you have, like, basically a pair of pantyhose on a pipe that's got holes in it.
Yeah.
So it keeps out the dirt.
Isn't that what the Templars did in Oak Island? The French drain?
I've heard of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have heard that.
So it goes way back. Let's go to Dan in Albany. Dan, you're on.
Oh, great. Thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Hi.
Let me just take off Bluetooth here.
Smooth.
I have a quick question on my sub pump in the basement. For some reason, it doesn't empty automatically. There's two plugs that come out of it, and what I had to do was plug it into a power strip. You have to turn on the power strip to make the sub pump empty itself. I'm not sure what the two plugs do, but that's the only way I can empty it.
Well, if
any
you
ideas?
Absolutely. I'll explain to you what the two plugs are in a second. But if the power strip is off, then you're not powering that plug. So that's just it. You need to put power to it.
That's
constantly
a good plan. Yeah.
But the two plugs. So there's one that plugs into the wall, and that actually has a female end behind it. And you take the other plug and you plug that into it. And what that is the first plug is your switch. So that's your float switch. So what that does is that breaks the constant power going to the pump. So like if you didn't have your power strip on or there was no power to that outlet, you would never get power there. That's what that plug does. And then the switch inside attached to the pump inside the pit somewhere, when that activates, it opens that circuit or makes that circuit, as they like to say in the electrical field.
Sure.
And it will power the pump and the pump kicks on. So if you pull out the plug that's directly from the pump and you plug that directly into the wall and the pump runs, but if you have it plugged into the switch and it's not running and the float is calling, so if that pit is filled with water, then either the float is jammed or the switch is bad. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. So, that makes a lot of sense because it does empty out once I turn the switch on. So, once I turn the power strip on. So, must be maybe a bad switch.
But let me ask you this. When you turn the power switch on, does it run and not shut off?
Correct. It doesn't shut off.
Yes.
Then, then
you either have a bad switch, and usually you can just replace the switch. It's usually just one screw on the pump itself, and then you just pull it off. You put the new one on, and you plug that in the wall and plug your pump into that.
Okay.
Right. But I just have to open up the whole container and get into it, I guess, right?
Absolutely.
Oh. Okay. And for some reason, it also keeps filling up. I only have one toilet and one sink off it. And for some reason, the tank on the toilet is always empty.
So this is a sewage ejector. This is not a sump pump.
I'm sorry. Yes. Correct.
So same concept, same exact float concept. But if it's filling up and you're not running water and you have no water in your tank, that means you're leaking from your tank to your bowl and it's just flowing into your pit.
And how do you fix that?
Right.
Usually just a flapper, but could be any of the seals between the tank and the bowl.
Right, correct. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Thank you so much for taking my call. You guys do a great job. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Have a great day.
Over to Sarah in Stone Ridge. Sarah, you're on.
Hello. We converted a large garage into living space, And in the bathroom, there's a washing machine. After we use it, there can be quite a strong odor. It smells like stagnant water or even air coming back from the septic tank. I'm wondering what would cause that. We've also smelt it, actually, when if we've been away for a couple of days and just come back into the cabin, is a very faint smell. The set, you can smell it very faintly. So wondering if you what your ideas would be on that.
Ray, it's all yours.
Oh, I'm sorry. You were talking
to me. You ready? You know what it is.
I was getting ready for the underwriting.
You know what
break.
It is.
Oh, it's the vent.
It is. It's a vent. So it's it sounds like when they did your addition, somebody didn't, and this is just an educated guess.
It was new
guess.
Construction, basically, on, you know, I guess it doesn't matter whether it's an addition, though. Sorry.
No, and that's okay. But it sounds like it wasn't vented properly. When you go away for a while and you come back, that smell is different. It's the same smell, but it's a different cause. That could just be a trap drying out. So a lot of times if you have something that you don't use, you have a shower in a basement, you have a laundry in your old garage that's now a living space, any place that you're not using a lot, eventually that water will dry up enough to where it will let sewer gases in. So if you run some water in the trap, wherever the discharge or the standpipe or wherever that washing machine drains into, if you pour water in there, that smell should dissipate. And if it's happening when you run it, that means that it's siphoning the water out of that trap, which usually means that it's not vented properly or it's a clogged vent. Could be as simple as a bird's nest on your roof.
What's the easiest way for Sarah to diagnose
this? We've actually already put a hose pipe down the vent on the roof.
Okay.
We've also changed the gasket on the toilet, and I've talked to the plumber and the guy who installed the septic tank, and they seem to have a difference of opinion on the use of a whole house trap. The plumber is convinced if there was a whole house trap just outside going to the septic, that would solve the problem. But
your septic guy's right on this one. The whole house trap is not going to solve that problem. The and we've talked about these. They're not code in, like, I think 48 states. Very rarely do you see a building or a house trap. We see them a lot in New York, and the some of them have reasons. Like in Kingston, New York, they do this high pressure flushing or hydro scrubbing of the main water lines, and that draws the water out of the house trap, which would draw the water out of your trap at every fixture. Then your house would smell when you came home after they did a day of this.
Right.
So some places there's a reason, but you're on a septic system. Nobody's running or hydro scrubbing your line without you knowing about it. So the house trap will not solve that problem. Sorry.
So it's just a matter of every individual vent?
Well, usually what happens is there's eight different forms of legal venting. So usually they end up coming out of the roof at one or two points in a residential home, or three or four sometimes. But usually
we have one under the kitchen sink, and we also have one at the washing machine.
So you have a
student. There's one of those short ones under
air admittance valve. Yes. So it's possible that that air admittance valve is either A, installed improperly. It's not high enough above the trap. They have to be at least 4 inches above the trap, and they have to be in the right spot. And again, so this is definitely a venting issue. You could also take that vent out and see if it drains better and see if it works, because that could tell you that just to run it a couple times and then put the vent back. The vent could be failed, could have something in it. Sometimes the guys, when they're working on it, they'll get a little glue in there and they stick together. But yes, this is 100% based, especially since you told me that there's Studer vents or air admittance valves. This is a venting issue, Sarah, and your plumber needs to address that who installed it.
Sarah, thank you for the call. We go over now to Lee in Burlington, Vermont. Hi, Lee.
Hi. I have a 150-year-old house that got its first plumbing in 1917, and part of that's still in use. And the most recent thing is the bathroom, which was done in 1929. And I have a toilet, and I wanted to know, number one, how many years do you expect that waxed ring to last on the toilet? And what would you know, what would you tell you other than the smell that it's going bad? And the other thing is, they're working on the main out here, and what's the safest way for me to keep them from blowing out a shower head, which they did the last time?
Oh, boy.
Do I keep everything closed up when they do this? Because they say this is a high-pressure line out here when I was talking to them this morning.
Okay.
And so.
So, first question, wax seals can last different times. It depends on how often they
get used. But not 100 years, right?
That's exactly where I was going. It's definitely not going to last 100 years.
And how about 30 years?
I've seen them last 30 years, but I would say I would err on the side of caution if it were my house. I'm assuming that being a 150-year-old house, you like the way that it looks, you like the aesthetics of it, and if that toilet were to start leaking, it's going to destroy the ceiling above it or below it.
Yeah.
So I would say for the cost to pull and reset that toilet, it's probably peace of mind, I would call it, and I would say if it were my house, I would just have it done. Your second question, and you don't have to. I mean, you can wait until it leaks because it'll start leaking in the ceiling below.
It needs a new toilet anyway, because if I let the water go into the tank, there's a crack below the fill line. I turn it off down at the valve under the tank so it doesn't use that, and I use a bucket to flush it.
So you might as well have, if you're getting a new toilet, they're going to replace the seal anyway. You can't reuse it. So there's your answer for that one. And then the high pressure line, they make what's called pressure reducing valves.
I've got one.
Yeah,
I just had a new one put in because the other one died.
Okay. Well, that will help you, relieve the pressure and not blow off your shower heads in your bathroom. But
but it still did it after I put the new one in.
That's what I was going to say. I mean, maybe talk to the town and ask them when they're going to be working on things. And when they're working on that, maybe leave a hose open outside that pressure has somewhere to go. So you're just, running or, open that's going to be your most volume of water. If you open a tub or something, you're not going to get as much as a full open hose.
All right, Lee, thanks a lot for the call. And, let's go quickly. We have about a minute here. Let's go to Dave in Westfield, Mass. Dave, you're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
So the issue I've got is we've got a sulfur smell that's coming out of our bathroom cold water faucets for about the first 5 to 10 seconds. It does not come out of the kitchen faucet, and I will tell you that I replace the 10-inch feeds from the PEC tubes up to the faucets, and that took care of it for a week or two, but then it came back. So I'm trying to figure out what I'm chasing.
So sulfur is one of the hardest things to get rid of, Dave, and I know we don't have much time, so I'm going to go real quick here.
You've got about 45 seconds.
Usually, and it sounds like this is a sulfur gas and not a sulfur bacteria, which is basically a byproduct of a sulfur bacteria, but it doesn't sound like you have the bacteria in the lines, just the gas. And usually we can eliminate that with an aeration tank, but I would have somebody test your water just for the sulfur, and they'll tell you exactly what it is, just a local plumber or local water treatment company. And then once we test that, what we do is it sounds like you can just put in an aeration tank and it'll aerate out the gas before it gets into your system. And it's probably coming at all the faucets. You just don't notice it because the first place you go is the bathroom to brush your teeth or whatever the case is. And you don't notice it out of a shower head because the gases rise up and it's above your head. But it's probably throughout your system and you only get it when the water's been sitting.
All right, Dave, that's where we will have to leave it. Ian Cowan, how do people find out more about On the Level Plumbing?
OTLplumbing.com. On the Level Plumbing. We're based out of Poughkeepsie, and we work everywhere from Westchester to Kingston, both sides of the river, sir.
Thanks for coming, man.
Thanks for having me.
We'll see you in the fall sometime.
Absolutely.
It's coming soon. Support comes from the University at Albany Theater Program, offering individualized education within their student-centered theater major to help train theater professionals for the 21st century. Albany.edu/theater. Careers in Transition, LLC, Albany. Dr. Tom Denham, providing individual career guidance, career testing, job strategies, interview preparation, LinkedIn lessons, resume and cover letter writing, accepting new clients, careersintransitionllc.com. Mother Earth Storehouse, serving the Hudson Valley with a variety of seasonal items and organic and all-natural foods, cafe and deli in Kingston location, MotherEarthStorehouse.com. And Boyden and Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, providing foreign and domestic car, truck, and SUV repair services at a Massachusetts inspection station for over 50 years, BoydenandPerrin.com. Thanks again to Ian Cowan for being here. Thank you for listening and some terrific questions today. Thanks to Jordan Taylor, our engineer. Your phones were answered by Susie Chekai, and our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow we tackle the world of sports with Brittany Devane of CBS 6 and the Berkshire Eagles' Howard Herman. Right now, stand by for news.